for episode 2 of Midnight Cab 22 Cryer Drive.
September 20th, 1991. I've been living in the city for almost 2 months now. Toronto. Dope red pawn shop on Church Street. Interesting view. The city seeps up. Seeps up somehow. Gets inside you. I haven't started my novel yet, just this journey. I've been too busy. My second week, I got a job driving a cab for Mr. Fiatelli. My first night out, I found a dead man in the trunk. I don't know how much longer Mr. Fiatelli's going to put up with me.
Why, here comes Walker Devereaux bearing a gift. At least you're not a Greek.
Hi, Krista. Where's Mr. Fiatelli? He's not in the garage.
Upstairs. He's playing poker. So what'd you get me, Walker?
I don't know. It's kind of heavy, though. Does Mr. Fiatelli have a lost and found?
You've got to be kidding.
I've only known Krista a few weeks, but already sometimes I have to remind myself she's in a wheelchair. I don't know. Maybe I don't like to think about it.
There's no label or anything on this.
No.
We'll open it up.
No, that wouldn't be right. I guess I'll have to run it back out to the guy.
Walker, are you crazy or what?
Why?
Time is money. You're already standing here doing nothing. The cab is sitting outside.
Well, you told me to come back.
And look at this lousy wrapping job. Brown paper and string. The guy's not going to pay you anything to return this. It's probably day-old sandwiches.
Too heavy.
So, here's what we do. We unwrap it.
Yeah.
If it's valuable, you take it out to the guy and say if he wants it back, he has to pay the fare both ways.
But,
and if it's not valuable, you can put it up on that shelf for a while and your conscience will be clear.
Jeez. I don't know. Somebody else's stuff. You're corrupting me, Krista.
I am? Hard to tell.
The string was tied like you tie up a boat. One pull and the knot came away.
Oh, my God. It's a baby.
No, it isn't. It's two.
Two what?
The jar was sealed tight and full of a smoky yellow liquid. Floating inside, back to back, joined at the spine. Sitting there like two pink Buddhas. The umbilical cord still attached. Some sandwich.
Walker, what is it?
Two little baby pigs, fetuses, in a jar of formaldehyde. I want to be a writer. But then a lot of people want to be writers. That's why I hit the road. Well, that and a lot of other reasons. My mom, for one. My six sisters, for another. And my dad. He died 3 years ago. Anyway, now I'm gaining life experience, as they say. I write it all down, everything that happens. No revelations yet, though. Just bizarre things like Siamese piglets in a jar. Of course, I took that package back to the guy in the motel, just out of curiosity. What else did I do?
All right, everybody, stand back. Let me do my yellow ribbon act.
What happened?
What do you mean, what happened?
Well, like, what happened?
Well, somebody didn't like somebody. You know, like on TV, bang. You know anything about it?
No.
Hello, Sherlock.
Oh. Hi, Inspector Kiss. I didn't hear you.
Gumshoes. Standard issue. So you, here to help out again? Would you transport this one in the trunk of your cab, too?
No.
Are you just passing by?
I had a fare.
Nice to be just passing by the way I was. Come on. I'll show you what I have to put up with night after night.
Can I?
It's up to you.
Someone had torn the motel apart. Mattress overturned, drawers scattered around, dressers pulled away from the walls. There was blood splattered against the one wall. Head high. And in the middle of the room, lying on his back on the carpeted floor, the man I had picked up 2 hours before.
One slug through the heart. Very ladylike gun. You see how small the hole is?
Yeah.
Well, are you okay, Walker? It's Walker, isn't it? Walker Devereaux?
Yeah.
Well, Walker, this guy, see, he either had something someone wanted real bad. Or he was searching for something and got caught in the act.
Right.
He had something. Because this was his room, according to the motel owner.
Oh.
Now, you figured out that cab murder, Walker. Any bright ideas on this one?
No. Well, look for a man with a broken nose. The blood on the wall. I don't think it's from the guy on the floor.
No. Well, I knew that already. But thanks. It's not a woman.
To take a punch from a man that size and still get off an accurate shot? I don't think so.
Yeah, well, you know what that proves, Walker. You never seen the women I go out with.
Come on.
I'll show you something else.
He led me back out of the room and down the paved walk towards a row of parked cars. I don't know why I didn't tell him that the man was my fare and that he'd left that jar in my cab. Maybe because I knew something Inspector Kiss didn't and I wanted to see where it would lead. Maybe I liked the feeling of having some information no one else had. To be special in some way, you know?
Motel manager noticed a car pulling away from his room.
Oh?
A red sports car.
Oh.
Not his, though. Now, this is his car. New Jersey plates. You know what comes from New Jersey?
No.
Nothing good. At least not up here. Not when we run into them. Now, look at this.
The trunk on the car was up. There was a Captain Morgan's rum carton sitting inside. Inspector Kiss reached into it and pulled out a jar full of smoky yellow liquid, and floating inside, in the liquid, like a planet dream of white membranes.
Nice, huh?
A huge, washed out, blue eye.
Walker? Walker, you there?
Hi.
Did you give that thing back to that guy? Did he pay you?
No. He wasn't there. It was almost 2:30 in the morning when I parked the cab near Carlton and Church Streets, just off the Maple Leaf Gardens, just about where I picked up the man with the jar. The jar someone had wanted. He'd come running out of a side street, looked back from where he'd come, then flagged me down, jumped in the back, breathing hard. He didn't say much, just the address, sank back into the back seat. Unshaven, swarthy skin. He kept glancing at the back window all the way to the lakeshore. When we pulled up to the motel, he stuck $20 in my hand and jumped out of the cab. Spooked, I said to myself. This guy is definitely spooked. I took a walk down the side street. He'd had his own car. Why wasn't he driving it? Probably, like Inspector Kiss said, because he was up to no good. But then he wouldn't drive around in a cab, would he? Cabbie see things. So, I rented the car. And if he thought he was being followed and ditched the car and ran a block or two, not sure where he was going, I walked two blocks, only found one rented car. Perched on the license plate, locked. I circled around the block. It was a parking lot in deep shadow with just a few cars on it. One car was parked at the very back, tucked in beside a billboard. I walked over to it. 936 MXT. Tilden rented car. If it was unlocked, it was the one I wanted. Why would he bother locking it? Eureka.
Walker, are you back again? When are you actually going to drive the cab?
I've got pigs in a jar. I've got a horse's eye in a jar.
What?
And now I've got a courtesy map from Tilden's and the pig guy? He's been shot dead.
What? The man he's picked up is dead?
Shot through the heart with a small caliber pistol.
You're bad news, Walker.
I know. I don't understand it. It wasn't like this in Big River.
I bet.
He had a horse's eye, too. I think it was a horse's eye. It was in a jar, just like this one, except it didn't have a label on it. It must have fallen off. So what do you think?
I think Alfonso Piattelli would like his cab on the streets, making money, with a normal, everyday driver in it.
I found a map the guy was using. He was from New Jersey. It's not marked, but there's a piece ripped out of it, see?
So you're going to try to find out who murdered this guy?
Well, yeah.
Why?
Because it's not right.
I could sell you a cakewalker.
Yeah.
Bullshit. You want to chase around because you like it. Because it's fun.
Yeah?
Well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. So hand me that map.
The map had been ripped from the bottom up, starting in the blue of the lake, taking Center Island with it. What's that?
The railway line through Summerhill. He's torn it out along the railway line. Look at my map. Okay, this is the area he's ripped out. From the lake to Summerhill, west of Young, east of Don Valley Parkway. That's a big part of the city, Walker. Lots of luck.
Right there.
What?
Within 6 blocks of right there. That's where he'd either been or where he was going. He'd rip out the map just a bit further up than he was going and approximately in the middle of the two edges on the side. Where's my finger?
In the middle of Rosedale's, very ritzy mansions and all that lousy tippers.
He tore it out for easy reference, probably stuck it in his pocket. Inspector Kiss is looking at it right now.
And he'll figure it out first.
Except...
what?
His jar doesn't have a label on it. Ours does. September 11th, 1941. Z... to culture. J.L. Smith. Black India ink. An old fountain pen. Printed in a careful hand across an old label that had almost come unstuck. When Krista had first seen it, she said I was out of luck. There were 10 zillion Smiths in Toronto. An exaggeration, maybe. But there were 4 columns of J. Smith. 130 names in each column. I looked it up. Now I drew a circle on Krista's map around 12 streets. Krista checked for 2 columns, and I checked the other 2.
Walker, what do you think the odds are that someone would move away between 1941 and now?
Good, but not perfect. Keep looking.
You know something? You're an absolute nutcase. I'm going blind. Oh, I found one.
Actually, Krista found 3 Smiths living on our list of streets. I found 2. J. Smith, James Smith, Jasper Smith, John Smith, and Dr. Julian Smith. 22 Crier Drive. It was almost 3 in the morning. All the huge houses along Crier Drive were dark, except for number 22. It glowed. All the lights on the first floor were shining out over the lawn and creeping through the gray iron fence. It was a gigantic pile of brick, with gables and turrets and a 3-story veranda flecked with peeling paint. I decided I might as well walk up to the front door and, package under my arm, ring the bell. What else could I do? Except sit in my cab all night and be scared.
Yes?
Oh. Hi. She was beautiful. Like, she was so beautiful. I couldn't believe it.
Well, what is it?
Someone left this package in my cab tonight. I'm a cabby. I think it might belong here. Is there a doctor?
Yes, yes, young man. No, Auntie, I don't think I'll do it.
Oh, Mrs. Dadley, of course.
No, Auntie, it's my duty. Oh, my God. Oh, no.
The old lady held the jar to the light. The 2 little back-to-back pigs swayed in the yellow liquid, bobbing towards her, their tiny mouths pulled up in tight little grins.
It's his. This is his.
And then...
Auntie!
Catch up! The jar hit the edge of a mahogany table, bounced on an oriental rug, rolled under a chair. But luckily it didn't break. Neither did the old lady. She fell smack on her fanny, her eyes rolled up, and she fainted. But the man behind her cradled her head before it hit the floor.
Here, put it on the sofa. Get up,
Peter. Oh, you are right. Okay. Auntie.
Over here. I think she's coming, too.
Can you hear me? Oh, my God, Evelyn. They do have him. Yes.
The old lady struggled to sit up, her eyes wide again now with fright. And Evelyn, the young one, she was beautiful, wearing a kind of silk pajama thing like you see in Fred Astaire movies. Her hair, honey blonde, falling down across her face, high cheekbones. And behind her stood Myers, a man with a dark, sharp face and a three-piece suit, staring at me.
You say that that thing was left in your cab?
That's right.
You don't know anything about it?
No, sir.
And who left it in your cab?
The man, stocky, curly hair. He didn't say much.
I see.
Let me get you something, Auntie. What would you like? Oh, a hot toddy, dear. That would be just the thing, all right? Can you stay for a moment?
Certainly.
Good. I think we appreciate the company right now. The more the merrier. I feel like calling in all the neighbors.
Oh, she's a little frightened. We're all slightly unnerved, Mr.
Devereaux. Walker Devereaux.
And you're a cab driver.
Yes.
Oh, you poor boy. You must think you've walked into a madhouse. Here, sit beside me. Please.
It's okay.
We're having a very difficult time, my dear. My brother has disappeared, and I'm afraid he's in the hands of some very unpleasant people.
Now, Mrs. Barratliff, there's no reason to tell this young man your business.
Well, he has disappeared, and now we know that they have him for certain.
I think we knew that before. That jar, then, belonged to...
Julian, my brother. He has all manner of bizarre specimens from his veterinary practice. That was years ago. These last years, he hasn't been well, you see. I've tried to keep him here, in his home. We've gone through a whole series of nurses, haven't we, Myers?
Indeed.
My poor brother suffered a stroke, and dear Mr. Myers here and I have been looking after his affairs. I fly over from England to visit him. But he's got in such a state. He just sits in his chair. He says nothing. He notices nothing. When he disappeared, I was hoping he'd somehow wandered away and that he'd be found. Within a day, they phoned the house. Someone was holding him. They wanted money. A great deal of money. They would send proof that they had him. The proof turned out to be...
The jar.
Young man, I think you can get on with earning your livelihood now. Nothing more is likely to happen tonight, and so...
Here you are, Monty. Oh, thank you, my dear. I hope it's not too hot. Can I get you anything, Mr.
Devereaux?
Walker? He was just leaving. We're keeping him from his work.
Oh, I see.
Not really.
Oh, yes, of course we are.
And you can understand, we do need some privacy now.
Yes. Well, right.
He won't say anything to anyone. Will you, my dear? He would risk Julian's life.
Evelyn walked me down the dark path and through the iron gate to the cab. She walked close to me and I could smell some faint, exquisite perfume. Something that made my heart ache a little under the shadowy canopy of the trees.
Mr. Devereaux, you will respect our privacy. You won't say anything to the police.
It might be better to go to the police. These are dangerous men that have your...
My grandfather.
Yes.
He's everything to Aunt Belle. And to me. We have no other family. If any harm came to him... My grandfather was a great man. When he was younger, there were colleagues coming in and out of this house all the time. They gave him a testimonial dinner at the Great Hall at Hart House. The place was full. I was only 5 years old, and, well, it seemed to me in my child's eyes that all the important people in the world were there. We just want to cooperate and get him back. Do you understand?
She looked up at me, shadows moving across her face, her eyes gleaming, suddenly full of tears. She gently brushed her lips against my cheek. So cool. Cool and warm all at the same time. And then she turned and walked quickly through the dark back to the house, opened the door, disappeared. My room over the pawn shop was empty. I put on my Sunny Boy tape, drank a quart of milk, rolled 3 cigarettes, and bought them. Myers, Ewan, Mrs. Barrowcliff, they were all waiting for something to be delivered to the door. Except the New Jersey guy, the delivery man, panicked. But what kind of kidnappers make an arrangement like that? There's always secret meeting places and drop-offs, elaborate procedures to check to see whether the police have been tipped off, but somehow they knew for an absolute fact that the police were not involved. How would they know? Because it was an inside job. They had someone inside.
Interesting story, kid. Persons unknown kidnapped the old man, used the specimens as proof. Yeah, I should arrest you for withholding evidence.
I know.
You want to see it through?
What do you mean?
Ever heard of Sherlock Holmes' Irregulars?
No.
Well, you're my irregular.
Do I have any choice?
Oh, hello.
Walker.
Yes. Walker.
I was just, I had a fare, so I thought I'd see about your grandfather. Has anything...
No. Nothing.
Well, the cab driver again.
He was just wondering...
About Dr. Smith.
That's very kind, but there's nothing to report to you since last night.
Well...
It's late. Mrs. Barrowcliff is asleep. We're all going to call it an evening.
Oh. Right. Well, I hope he'll be safe and everything will turn out all right.
Thank you very much, Walker.
So, good night. Good night. I looked for Inspector Kiss. He'd been sitting in the back of my cab waiting to hear what I'd found out. Not that I'd found out anything, but he wasn't there. I got in, drove around the block, parked, and walked back through the dark shadows on the other side of the street. Myers was leaving, saying goodnight to Evelyn. I could see, even from across the road, that she was close to tears. Myers patted her hand. She went back inside and closed the door, and he quickly strode off the side of the veranda towards the drive. I expected to see a red sports car emerge from the shadows, but instead, a pearl-gray Mazda pulled out, drove by, and disappeared. I continued to watch until all the lights went out one by one by one, until the huge house stood in mottled shadows, heavy with silence. I wasn't sure what to do. Where was Inspector Kiss? And then, Myers suddenly appeared, walking back. He went through the iron gate and disappeared around the house. I followed him, creeping through the dark, keeping close to the brick wall, crawling over shrubs and through cobwebs until I reached the back corner of the house. I stood up slowly and looked around. Myers was standing in the backyard in a small patch of light. He was looking up towards a window in the wing of the house. Probably the maid's quarters in the old days. There was a small lighted window on the second floor, and he was moving back and forth across the lawn trying to see in. Suddenly he stopped and looked right at me. I hadn't moved, hadn't made a sound, but somehow he sensed that someone was there. He stood frozen for a moment, then looked slowly all around, and turned and rushed back the way he'd come. There was a trellis by a back door overrun by thick vines and birch nests. As soon as I saw it, my heart started racing, and I knew I'd climb it, and I did. And over the eave, like a thief, and across the porch roof. The window was small and covered by a yellowing blind, except it hadn't been pulled all the way down. I sat on the roof, with my back to the wall, then turned slowly and looked in. A man was sitting in a chair looking at me. An old man with wispy white hair and vacant eyes. A belt was tied around his chest into the back of the chair, though he didn't look like he needed it. A shadow fell across the blind, and suddenly a young guy was standing beside him. Good looking, I guess, except for the bandage. Broken nose. And his eyes looked wild. And then, another shadow. Evelyn. Right there. Beside her grandfather. Her beloved grandfather. She looked at the young guy. Then she looked down at the old man. Gently. Very gently. She took the old man's hand and put it on the table. And then the young guy drew out a knife and cut off the old man's little finger. I slipped off the rope as silently as I could, and I ran. Ran through the dark, right into the arms of Inspector Kiss.
Well, file's complete.
Is it?
Yeah, except for the trial, of course, so, don't get lost.
Like you did.
I found the red sports car, didn't I? Parked in the garage, under a canvas, too.
Right.
So, that's all here. An ambitious young lawyer with no money, just a red sports car. His alleged psychopathic girlfriend who couldn't wait for her inheritance from a grandfather or his sister. So they hold the old man for ransom. Petty crook from New Jersey, who's supposed to be an accomplice, doesn't like to smell things, and he panics.
And dies.
What a threesome. 35 years on the job, and I continue to be fascinated by people.
At least Myers was honest. He suspected something's wrong.
Financial advisors always suspect something's wrong. But the aunt didn't. Didn't even know her brother was still in the house. Well, it was a big house.
Right.
So listen, after the trial. Do you want it?
What?
When Evelyn was about to give her aunt to hurry things up. Her brother's finger in a jar of formaldehyde.
No thanks.
All right.
I don't think I'll ever forget the look in Evelyn's eyes. You know? Through the window. When she was...
Yeah.
You've just heard episode 2 of Midnight Cab, 22 Cryer Drive, by James W. Nickel. Featured in the cast were David Ferry as Walker and Jacqueline Samuda as Krista, with Neil Monroe as Inspector Kiss. You heard Moya and Gilly Fenwick as Aunt Belle and Myers, with Bin Bin as the cop. Special guest star this week was Catherine Disher as Evelyn. Music for the series is composed by Milan Kimlicka, and the casting consultant is Linda Grierson. The recording engineer is Joanne Anka, with sound effects by Matt Wilcott. The series production assistant is Nancy Dowd. Midnight Cab is produced and directed in Toronto by Bill Howell.